This is the Happy Hour Network.
Pay attention, son. This is for your own good.
Today's sponsor is Audible.com, who has more than 180,000 audiobooks and spoken word audio products. Get a free audiobook of your choice at www.audibletrial.com/latenightparents. Why Audible? Audible content includes more than 180,000 audio programs from the leading audiobook publishers, broadcasters, entertainers, magazine and newspaper publishers, and business information providers. That's audibletrials.com/latenightparents.
And we're back. This is Ted Hicks, Late Night Parent Radio. You can find us on Facebook, facebook.com, Late Night Parents. You can find me on Twitter.com/@ Real Ted Hicks. And you can find the site, latenightparents.com. Or you can also find us on Twitter at Late Night Parent. Excited to be here once again, the eve before New Year's Eve show. Guys, I got to tell you, eventful day in the Hicks household. Believe it or not, the tree was down, putting it up in the attic, and took a spill off the ladder. One of those days, I tell you, thankful to a loving family and wife. No bones broken or anything like that. Just ego slightly bruised, but we were able to make it through. Want to thank all our partners and listeners out there that re-air the show, that air the show live. They share it in podcast format, whether it's in the full hour format or if it's a specific chunk. You and I are One Radio, NGSC Sports, Happy Hour Network, iHeart Radio, XRP Radio, FSC Radio. We just want to say thanks. And we know the last show of 2015. So really excited because we have two wonderful guests. One is a friend to the room. One is one person I will be introducing to you. And one person you're going to get, familiar with again, Dr. Derek Ochiai from wonderful, beautiful Virginia will be chiming in. We're going to be talking a little sports because guess what? We're all Jets fans. We're going to talk a little ACH, a little Jets. I do have one medical question about my brother-in-law who recently broke his pelvis. So he's coming on at 5 minutes after the hour. At 30 minutes past the hour, Miss Karen Mertes, she's a drunk driving victim herself and creator of Plaintiff 101. And she's going to share a story of an unfortunate circumstance, but how she turned it positive. And we're going to take an in-depth look at the courtroom and coverage of the legal and technical issues that arise in a drunk driving case. So those are two primary guests for tonight. And then we have a little something special. Danny Thompson from NBA Full Court Press joined us earlier tonight for a quick snippet. He's at the Hornets and Clippers game in Charlotte because he's visiting his mom. So he's going to answer the question. And that question that everyone is asking, at least in the NBA world, what Mark Jackson said. Mark Jackson said that Steph Curry destroying the NBA. It could be taken any which way. So We'll get to that audio a little bit later, probably at 50 minutes past the hour. As always, we appreciate all the listeners, all the people that send emails, ways to make the show even better, that listen to the podcast on Spreaker or iTunes or on SoundCloud. Really thankful because it was a big 2015. A lot of great friendships were made and partnerships were made. So we got folks from the Glidetech hoverboard that are going to be coming on next year. Lifetime Fitness has reached out to us to see if we can work together. Because, yes, there's a Lifetime Fitness Center that has opened because the first through the third of the year is Commitment Day, getting families moving and in shape and healthy for the new year. So with that being said, I'm going to tell you this much. Dr. Derek Ochiai, who originally joined the show, I would say back in my barbershop sports days, has always been a friend, has worked with all of us to come on the various shows, whether it's barbershop sports or NBA Full Court Press or you name it, even Late Night Parents. But, his portfolio is so complete. He's a board certified by the American Board let's put it this way. Whether it's upper or lower extremities, including the hip, knee, shoulder, he is our person. He uses both non-surgical and surgical techniques to help his patients return to their active lifestyles. So with that botched opening and my son walking behind me, my 8-year-old son walking behind me, want to welcome Dr. Derek Ochiai. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on, Ted.
Hey, thanks for joining. Thanks for taking out the time. You could be doing anything right now, but for the next couple of minutes, you're joining us, and we're going to chat about, a plethora of topics. But thanks again for joining us. I'm going to jump right in it and say there's a lot of noise happening within the last 48 hours. No, we're not talking about Bill Cosby. We're not talking about Chip Kelly. We're talking about Peyton Manning and that Al Jazeera's report. Dr. Derek, what's your take on it? Is it a case where there's smoke, there's fire, or there's been stories recanted? And HGH itself, the use in sports is at an all-time high. And I'm thinking about it from a perspective, the great Peyton Manning, not including him in it, but just having his name attached to it. We're talking legacy, but we're talking about all the youth athletes that look up to these great athletes as a role model. What's your take on this?
Well, first of all, I really hope that it's false. Trying to use HGH in a way that is not medically necessary or medically approved is not something that any athlete should do. That being said, there is research that is going on HGH, in certain settings, actually Mark Cuban is funding a study at the university looking at HGH for ACL recovery for after ACL surgery and seeing if HGH could actually help an athlete recover quicker and regain their strength. So
how are you doing?
I'm doing fine.
Oh, my goodness. I tell you, you have the patience of a saint.
Well, I'm glad we're able to talk.
Yeah, definitely.
So we were talking a little bit about, Peyton Manning and HGH.
Right.
First of all, I really hope that it's not true. I hope that, he didn't use, illegally using HGH in a way that's, not legal and not approved by the National Football League and the World Anti-Doping Association. However, you know, I do think that, you know, having a blanket statement that saying HGH is just bad, I think that's a little short-sighted. I mean, there's studies that are ongoing right now on, you know, medical scientific studies on looking at HGH and in things like recovery from ACL surgery. And, you know, is this a way that we can get athletes to recover faster and get them, you know, back to doing the sports they love? So, you know, it's not right for him to use it because it's not, you know, it's not an approved method. But, you know, maybe in the future we are actually using things like HGH and helping athletes, you know, not gain a competitive advantage, but, you know, trying to recover, you know, from, you know, surgery and get back to a level where, you know, they are able to be, you know, productive at the sport.
That is so true. You're coming from medical's perspective. I'm coming from the fan perspective, where Peyton Manning is just like, you know, the greatest of all time. It's kind of like when you hear, like, with everything that happened with Major League Baseball, and if you ever heard Derek Jeter's name tied to something like, you know, an illegal substance, where your whole world is crashed because you grew up, or, you know, many people have grown up having that person as that specific hero.
Right. Yeah. And you know, it's unfair to use these kind of, you know, like either human growth hormone or anabolic steroids. I mean, that is, you know, gaining an unfair competitive advantage because people who play by the rules can't use those types of, you know, medications or hormones. But, you know, maybe in the future we are finding ways that are medically sound to, you know, help athletes get back to the field and recover from surgery or injury quickly, and we figure out how to do this in a way that's not going to give the athlete an unfair competitive advantage, but at the same time maximize the results of any kind of treatment, including surgery, that they may have.
So true. So true. I mean, we're going to just hope for the best, and, you know, we're the story, there's so many different moving parts, Dr. Derek, on this story, where certain things are being recanted, certain journalists are sticking behind their stories. It's a global story when you mention something like you know, a specific name like Peyton Manning. He's in everyone's household. Oh, no, go ahead.
No, I just hope it's not true.
Totally. Hey, I do have a medical question for you. My brother-in-law, who's 50 years old, was recently in a motorcycle accident. He broke his pelvis in two places. You know, he's been out, I would say, 2 months, and he just started rehab today. Generally, what's the recovery time, or is that based on the person or the healing?
There's a lot of different pelvic fractures. I'm assuming he didn't require any kind of surgery.
He did. He did require surgery.
Oh, he did. Yeah, so he had an unstable pelvic fracture. So, you know, healing from that, 3 to 4 months before the bone heals, and then you have a lot of, you know, kind of muscle weakness that happens after the trauma of the injury and the trauma of the surgery to fix the injury. You know, so, I mean, a lot of times, you know, to kind of get back to normal, you're looking at, you know, sometimes 6 to 8 months, you know, to get back to, you know, kind of a reasonably close to how you were before the injury.
Gotcha. And hopefully, and like I spent some time with him during the holiday break to say, leave the motorcycles alone. leave the motorcycles alone. You are being selfish because family, you know, is involved in all of this.
Well, your motorcycles are, you know, they can be extremely dangerous. They go at extremely fast speeds, and you have very little protection.
Totally, Totally. So now I get to the fun part with you. I want to talk a little bit about Jets because you and I have a connection. Even though we might be about, I don't know, 500 miles away from each other, we're both diehard Jets fans. A few years ago, I would say Jets apologists. Questions for the upcoming game this weekend against Buffalo. Before we get to that, I want to say to you, in your pick, you have one pick. Who is your Jets MVP this season?
Yeah, that's a tough one. Yeah, if you're saying MVP, meaning most valuable player, I would have to say it's Ryan Fitzpatrick. You know, he has been a solid quarterback for them. And, you know, for the life of me, sometimes I can't understand why some teams, you know, shy away from a quarterback who's a solid, good NFL quarterback and, you know, sometimes chase somebody who has better measurables or, you know, a higher upside potential. Because not everybody is going to be Peyton Manning or Aaron Rodgers or Drew Brees. And, you know, I don't think the Jets need that. They needed a solid quarterback, be able to make smart decisions. And, you know, they got that for a sixth-round draft pick. So I'd have to say if it's most valuable player, I'd say it's Ryan Fitzpatrick. If it's most valuable person as an MVP, I would say it's Todd Bowles. He made the decision to go with Ryan Fitzpatrick. You know, I mean, that was, you know, that was a decision that turned out to be the right thing for the Jets.
I want to crack a bad joke, Dr. Derek, and say the MVP is IK, the guy who broke Geno Smith's jaw. I'm sorry for saying that.
Well, I have to admit it crossed my mind to say that one too, but I didn't.
You know, I mean, I understand you can't speak that way. I can. I'm doing so. You get to live vicariously through me on this one. You're the MD. I'm not. But I got to tell you, I'm so happy with Todd Bowles having him as a coach. There's no buffoonery. There's none of that, you know, animal house environment anymore. I'm, you know, this season I got the opportunity to go to attend two Jets games, one against the Eagles and one against the Giants, which was technically a road game for the Jets. But, you know, they're proud. And the whole thing about the same old Jets, we're going to see this weekend. We don't want to jinx them. I don't want to say, you know, we no longer have to say same old Jets. Their front office, they filled their biggest holes by trading for Brandon Marshall, who's been a godsend. He's elevated Decker. And you mentioned Fitzpatrick and buying the new secondary. So I'm going to ask you, the next question is, are Brandon Marshall and Eric Decker, are they the best receiving core that you've seen since going way back to Wesley Walker and Al Toon?
Yeah. You know, statistically, it would be hard to argue against it. They're setting records with, you know, as a receiving tandem. They're playing amazingly well. I kind of have a soft spot in my heart for the Wayne Corbett and Keyshawn Johnson duo.
Yes. Totally agree with you on that one. Totally agree with you. Keyshawn and Corbett, and, you know, we all love Corbett up here because I'm located right near Hofstra University where Corbett went to, attended his undergrad, and, you know, he's all over the place. If you can give me a game prediction, what is your overall prediction? What do you think? Do the Jets pull it through? Do they punch Rex in the mouth, or do we squeak by win a win?
I think it's gonna be a close game. I think Rex Ryan is a good coach, and you know, I think he's gonna have his team up for it, and I think they're gonna want to play for him. You know, he's a player's coach, so they're gonna want to win for him. I mean, he may be a little bit on the hot seat in Buffalo already, so. Yeah, I'm going to say it's going to be 21-17 Jets.
Ah, okay. I will say this much about Dr. Derek, about Rex. He always seems to be on a hot seat. The only thing he has in his favor is he signed that 5-year, $27 million contract after going 4-12 with the Jets, which is it's unfathomable to me that he could get a deal like that. But hey, he's doing the right thing, and I'm not. And you know, I don't know. But I want to thank you for joining us tonight. I wanted you to let our listeners know the best ways of getting in contact with you, your website, your social media handles. If we want to get in touch and find out more about Dr. Derek Ochai, what should we do?
Well, you can go onto my website. It's my practice's website is www.nirschl.com. That's nirschl.com. If you want to, you know, kind of see me more personally, you can follow me on Twitter. It's at Dr. Derek Ochai, DrDerekOchiai, and you can get through my practice website through my Twitter site as well.
Dr. Derek, I want to give you a round of applause. I want to say thank you so much. Sorry about the technical difficulties. And hey, before you get on out of here, any New Year's resolutions?
You know, my resolution is that I am going to improve, you know, orthopedic surgery healthcare for all my patients and all the patients in the United States.
Dr. Derek, thank you so much. Looking forward to having you back on the air with us at Late Night Parents or Baseball, Beer, and Barbecue or any of the shows, because you're a great guest. Thanks again, and looking forward to a prosperous 2016 for you.
And you too. Happy New Year's. And thanks for letting me talk about something other than medicine. It's always fun to be able to actually talk sports, because normally I'm just talking about orthopedic surgery.
Hey, anytime. Talk to you soon. Thanks so much.
All right. Thank you. Bye.
And folks, that was Dr. Derek Ochai, Cornell graduate, Case Western Reserve University School of Medicine. He's trained in sports medicine and arthroscopic surgery. It's so great to have guests on like this because, yes, he's used to talking medicine, but as I mentioned before, we're both Jets fans, and we talked a little HGH, we talked a little Jets, and, you know, he even answered a medical question. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to bring on our next guest, Karen Mertes. She has a very special story to share with us. And we'll be right back in about 30 seconds. Okay?
Audible is offering our listeners a free audiobook of your choice and a free 30-day trial membership. Just go to audibletrial.com/latenightparents and choose from over 180,000 audio programs. Download a title free and start listening. It's that easy. Go to audibletrial.com/latenightparents. That's audibletrial.com/latenightparents and get started today. Why Audible? Audible content includes more than 180,000 audio programs from the leading audiobook publishers, broadcasters, entertainers, magazine and newspaper publishers, and business information providers. That's audibletrials.com/latenightparents.
And we are back. I want to thank our good friends at Audible. We became partners this past year. We want to thank, you know, the many partners that have partners and guests that have come across in 2015, looking for an even more prosperous 2016. I will tell you what's about to happen in the next 24 hours or so. Well, technically, it's going to be in the next 3 hours and 25 minutes. It's going to be New Year's Eve. This show is called The Eve Before New Year's Eve because very serious topic. Yes, in the previous segment, we talked about the Jets and everything else like that. Now we get to talk about what happens with what's associated with New Year's and New Year's Eve. And that's, you know, people drinking and celebrating and bringing in the new year. But along with that are, you know, crashes, fatalities, everything else. I mean, did you know 41% of car accidents, fatalities occur on New Year's Eve? I'm going to bring on Karen Mertes. She's going to tell her story of being a drunk driving victim herself and the creator of Plaintiff 101. Karen, how are you doing?
I'm doing well, Ted. Thank you for having me on your show this evening.
Thank you so much for being so flexible with coming on the show live. I mean, I know you speak everywhere. I go on to the Plaintiff 101 WordPress.com site, and you are all over the place. And it just really moved me when I read your story with, you know, with the various PR firms I work with. And when I heard your story, I wanted you to come on and talk with our listeners, share your story, and then we'll take it from there. I mentioned that it's New Year's Eve. In a few hours, we talked about holiday travel last week on our podcast. You know, combining the extra travel and increase in alcohol consumption, it's a recipe for more car accidents. I'm going to decrease, and I'm allowing you to increase because I want you to share your story and also tell us about Plaintiff 101.
I'm happy to do that, Ted. Thank you. Well, as you asked, the story is that on February 7th of 2007, that was the day that forever changed my life. I was a lieutenant colonel serving in our United States Air Force, and I was driving the speed limit on the interstate when I was struck at approximately 7:20 p.m. by a drunk driver that was traveling literally over 100 miles per hour. And this was just a random Wednesday in February, and 7:20 p.m. is not late in the evening by any stretch. So it's a warning to us all that they're literally out there really 24/7. And this particular young man had a blood alcohol level of 0.221, which is nearly three times the legal limit. And both of our cars were totaled. My axle snapped in half and was pushed into my transmission, causing my brakes and steering to fail. And so my car's undercarriage dragged, creating all these sparks, and I slid a distance of about three football field lengths. And then there was the smell of burning rubber. It was absolutely horrifying because I had a full gas tank and I worried that it would catch fire. And I sustained a traumatic brain injury at the scene of the crash because the impact upon my head and brain were multiple G-forces. My brain literally cracked and bled inside my skull. And I made a futile attempt to regain control of my vehicle as my car slid sideways down the interstate with all these other cars in the remaining lanes traveling by me at highway speeds and veering around me to avoid hitting me. And it was during this time, as my life hung in the balance, that I made a bargain and a promise that if I were fortunate enough to survive, I'd spend the rest of my life helping other people. And from that, I started a nonprofit called Fulfill Your Destiny, and I raise money for it in a number of different ways. And you alluded to, you know, a lot of professional speaking, and I've authored a book called Plaintiff 101, the Black Book of Inside Information Your Lawyer Will Want You to Know. And I did that. It's a groundbreaking work because it's written from the combined efforts of an attorney and me as the plaintiff, and it gives much of the information from inside our personal injury lawsuit and, you know, from an attorney standpoint, but then from me, who was successful in my litigation. And it provides 50 takeaways and checklists, some of which can be implemented immediately to see it save everybody time, money, and energy. And it's full of real-world applications, so it's very usable and easy to read. And you never see the information in law school. The attorney I partnered with learned it over a very successful career, and having been part of multi-million dollar settlements and verdicts. And so he imparts that wisdom throughout the book. And so we say it's a must-read for every driver. Because on the front end, we educate everybody about insurance and how much to have, what types, and why. And it has to do with UIM coverage, uninsured motorist coverage.
Mm-hmm.
So you can, you know, create a pool of money that's there in case you're injured or you should, you know, injure someone else. And so, because you need, you know, a much larger pool to be available than just the legal state minimums across the country. And so we educate people on that. And then we walk them through from A to Z, the entire litigation process. And so it's also very useful for plaintiff's attorneys because it can save them several hours with each client and using it as a teaching tool for them. And then associates can become, the term is called rainmakers, and using our book, Plaintiff 101, to bring in new clients and cases. And defense attorneys will want to read it too because they can use the information in Plaintiff 101 to leading to quicker settlements. And then it's really great to position it with all the referral partners, you know, doctors, chiropractors, massage therapists, acupuncturists, all the different networking groups so many of us are part of. You pre-position the book with anybody that may ever get the question, I've been in an accident, what do I do now? And it's available on Amazon in both paperback and Kindle versions. And like you said, there's a website, and that's plaintiff101.wordpress.com. And it's also available through my website, fulfillyourdestiny.org. There's a author tab, and underneath that, there's four books, and Plaintiff 101 is one of those, and then it has an extensive blog there about it.
Karen, I have a couple of questions. I know
Great.
You might be short for time. I want to be cognizant of it. So do we have about 10 minutes or so? Because I just have some questions in regard to the New Year's Eve experience and being out there as a motorist. Do you have a couple of extra minutes or are you kind of tight for time? Okay.
No, I sure do.
So thank you so much. So first question is, why does New Year's Eve contribute to more careless driving? I mean, we know about the level of alcohol, but give us your perspective on it.
Well, I think that alcohol is part of so many of the celebrations that go on New Year's Eve, as well as other times, you know, throughout the year. But New Year's Eve is definitely one of the big ones. And so I think what leads to drinking and driving is that people have to have a plan. If they know they're going to drink that evening, they have to have the plan before they go out, whether that be a designated driver, a taxi, staying over at a friend's, or the venue that they're going, or Uber, or, you know, all these various other methods. As long as they have the plan in place prior to drinking, it should work. But I think if people don't have the plan, once they start drinking, the judgment goes out the window. And that's when, you know, it leads to the drinking and driving.
So based on that, and it's so key to have a plan, to have a designated driver lined up. But I got to ask you, is like, will these drinking accidents ever be under control?
I think that would be the only way, is if people genuinely had a plan and stuck to the plan, and if plan A doesn't work, plan B, you know, taxi, different, you know, just kind of go down the list. But the, you know, vehicles are just such dangerous equipment if we don't operate them appropriately. And so that's, you know, why we have to make that conscious decision to just not drink and drive. I'm not saying don't drink. That's a personal decision, and everybody,
right,
you know, deserves the right to enjoy their off time the way they would like. And so I just, in my mind, I separate the two activities, drinking or driving. You know what I mean? Like,
right,
drinking and driving doesn't come together in my,
right,
mind.
Right. Like, I mean, and I'm not endorsing this, but there are times when I'm in my home and I have a glass of wine with dinner. I mean, I'm not getting out behind the wheel after that. I'm done for the evening.
Right. You know, and there have been studies that say, you know, having a glass of red wine or so is actually has health benefits and whatnot. So, you know, I agree with you. And so, yeah, I think if we looked at it more as an or scenario rather than, you know, the and, I think, you know, we would all be in a better position.
So I have another question is, so what is the fallout from being a victim of a drunk driving accident? I mean,
yeah.
The floor is yours.
Oh, thank you. Well, you know, there are a lot of injuries and or fatalities that occur. You would say I'm a miracle, you know, walking miracle, in that he hit me going at 100 miles per hour, and I survived. Now, I did sustain a traumatic brain injury that we talked about, and then I spent 4 years and 2 months in litigation. And
wow.
I sued the drunk driver, and he was a 21-year-old young man driving his girlfriend's mother's car. So he didn't have insurance, but the insurance is on the vehicle. It took 2 years to reach a settlement where they paid full policy on that car. And then it took me another 2 years and 2 months in suit against my own insurance company before everything was completely done. And I had to do it that way because I did file a claim with my own insurance company, but they said no. You know, if you want to recoup, you know, I filed a claim for my policy. And so they said, no, you know, we have to go to court. Or basically, you know, you have to sue us. In the end, I was able to reach a successful settlement. But that took that duration. And but, you know, I'm one of the lucky ones in that I did survive. Now, I did lose my career because of my injuries. And I was active duty military at the time, lieutenant colonel in the United States Air Force, and had served for 18 years at the time of the collision. And the traumatic brain injury, I was a chief financial officer of a $169 million operation.
Oh.
And I could no longer perform at that level. And so to hear me speak, I'm blessed to be left with the ability to communicate where you don't, you know, you don't detect it. And so my deficits are at a much higher level that you just don't detect on day-to-day, you know, interaction with me. And so I'm very, you know, fortunate because a lot of brain-injured people can't communicate the same way that I can. And that's because brain injuries are very unique depending on the lobe or lobes that are impacted, how it's classified as far as length of time that a person's unconscious, their level of overall health and fitness at the time of the injury, their desire to get better. There's so many factors that play into, you know, the ultimate outcome. And so that's a larger reason why I feel the need to educate the public, both on traumatic brain injuries and on the system, you know, with drunk driving and therefore the litigation process. And then explaining, you know, through our book, Plaintiff 101, helping really everybody. Because sadly, there's over 2 million people every year that are injured through motor vehicle collisions. Yeah, 2 million. That's
correct.
Staggering.
That is staggering. Yeah. I have to ask you, I mean, without a doubt, Plaintiff 101, and I'm not even going to ask, because usually at times I would ask, the PR firm that I'm working with, hey, send me the review. This story is so powerful. You have my purchase because I want to donate something to your organization and also pick up the 101. I've got to say, how can you protect yourself from the many pitfalls that plaintiffs face?
Well, you know, we go in depth in Plaintiff 101. And, you know, explain everything in layman's terms and the process and what's going to be asked of us as a plaintiff, you know, depositions and filling out interrogatories and, you know, we give a deposition checklist and an interrogatory checklist. And we use my story as the case study throughout, and I'm very open in the book sharing what I did right and also what I did wrong along the way and how it almost at times cost me the whole case. And so I you know, share it all in the hopes of educating really the nation and perhaps beyond, but certainly our entire United States, both the public and the attorneys on both sides, because I want to help plaintiffs' attorneys and their clients, and then I want to help the defense side as far as helping both sides communicate better, leading to more productive settlements and getting everybody, you know, healthy quicker, so to say, and on the road to recovery.
Karen, you have such a powerful story. I want to give you a round of applause.
Oh,
you're welcome. Last question is, tell us about, you know, the best way to get in contact with you or your organization, via social media, plug your various websites, because there's going to be people that hear this podcast through our various distributed formats that might have a question or two, and if they need to reach out to you, they should be able to get to you.
Absolutely. Well, it really, fulfillyourdestiny.org is the website, and from there they can click and like the Fulfill Your Destiny Facebook page and connect with Twitter through that. And there's also a contact page there that will send an email to me. And so, they can certainly Google Karen Mertes. And all this stuff comes up as well. And Plaintiff 101 is on Amazon. And so there's probably ways that way too. I certainly invite, you know, follow-on questions and would be happy to engage with people.
And that is Karen Mertes, plaintiff101.wordpress.com. Fulfill Your Destiny. Karen, thank you so much. Want to ask you one question. Any New Year's resolution, anything that you're looking forward to in 2016?
You know, I would like to take Plaintiff 101 and the education and the story as broad and as far as I possibly can to help as many people in 2016 as possible.
Perfect, perfect. It's you know what, God bless you, I thank you, and just whenever you have, if there's ever a need, you want to ever use our platform to get on and talk, or I'm guessing you're going to be revising your book, you know, in the coming years as things start to change, as new laws start to change, I definitely want you to come back, visit us. And we definitely want to keep in touch, okay?
Absolutely. And, you know, as readers read the book, if they want to send suggestions or if there's something we didn't address they would like to see, we're seriously considering writing a 201, and then we would incorporate any and all of those questions and comments and things like that that may come up, you know, as we go forward. So I really do encourage feedback.
Karen, thanks so much.
Thank you, Ted.
Bye-bye.
And Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year. And that is Karen Mertes. Very powerful story. So happy for her to join us tonight to talk about her book, Plaintiff 101, to talk about Fulfill Your Destiny, her 501c3 or organization. And it's about helping people whose careers have been altered by injury or by other unforeseen circumstances. Really so appreciative to have her on here and share her story. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back, and we're going to talk with Danny Thompson in a recorded interview that took place about an hour and a half ago. He's currently in Charlotte attending the Clippers and Charlotte Hornets game, and we're going to talk about Mark Jackson in his comment about Steph Curry. Is Steph Curry destroying the NBA? So we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Audible is offering our listeners a free audiobook of your choice and a free 30-day trial membership. Just go to audibletrial.com/latenightparents and choose from over 180,000 audio programs. Download a title free and start listening. It's that easy. Go to audibletrial.com/latenightparents. That's audibletrial.com/latenightparents and get started today. Why Audible? Audible content includes more than 180,000 audio programs from the leading audiobook publishers, broadcasters, entertainers, magazine and newspaper publishers, and business information providers. That's audibletrials.com/latenightparents.
And we are back. We want to thank our two guests tonight, our two live guests, Dr. Derek Otei and Karen Mertes. They both brought and shared their stories. On a lighter note, we talked with Dr. Derek about the Jets. We talked a little HGH and the Peyton Manning Al Jazeera's debacle that's going on right now. Karen Mertes joined us to talk about being an auto injury survivor and taking her situation, her plight, and turning it into to becoming an author and a consultant and getting out there, being a professional speaker about what do people do when they're, you know, when they've been involved in an accident, you know, especially with, you know, these drunk driving accidents. So as I mentioned before the previous break, had a discussion with Danny Thompson, host NBA Full Court Press and host of The Morning Tip-Off. You can hear him on iHeartRadio 96.9 The Game in Orlando, Florida. Question came up because we talked about the hot button issue, which was Mark Jackson talking about bad for the NBA.
Being joined the eve before New Year's Eve show by a friend to the room and a personal friend of mine, Danny Thompson, host of NBA Full Court Press, host of The Morning Tip-Off, these shows that you can hear exclusively on iHeartRadio and the Spreaker app. Pull it up, listen to it, enjoy it, love it. If you love the NBA, you're definitely going to love either of these shows that you hear the host. Danny, welcome to the show.
Hey, Ted, how's it going, my friend?
Pretty good, pretty good. It sounds like you're on site, you're on location. It doesn't sound like you're in beautiful Orlando, Florida.
Actually, tonight I'm not. Full Court Press Radio, sponsored by SoFo LLC, is taking a little vacation tonight. I'm in Charlotte, North Carolina tonight, so I'm here at the Clippers and Hornets game, which tips off in a few minutes here.
That's good. That's good. And I'm glad that we're able to get you on for a couple of minutes to chop it up, to talk NBA. Got to get you in there because we just our Christmas Day games, and I guess that's the unofficial start of the season, or at least when most fans start to dig in and get locked in. I do have a burning question. The hot button question for the evening for you is, there's a lot going on. There's been a lot of chatter back and forth, whether it's sour grapes or this. Yes or no, in, I guess, 2 minutes or less, I'm just joking, is Steph Curry hurting the NBA? That question or that statement was made by none other than, you know, our good friend from St. John's, Mark Jackson. Everyone else knows him as, you know, the former coach of the Clippers and, you know, one of the lead analysts for ESPN. But I remember him from the St. John's days because that's only about 30 minutes away from my home. So the question of the evening, what is going on with an ESPN analyst, Mark Jackson, and former coach of the Clippers, saying that Steph Curry is hurting the NBA, and isn't he like the poster child of the NBA?
I mean, you know, Steph Curry is the guy in the NBA right now. You know, LeBron James is considered the most polarizing athlete in the league, but Steph Curry is the poster boy in the face of the entire league right now. You know, Coach Jackson, you know, Mr. Omar Jackson, you know, former coach of the Warriors, not the Clippers, Ted. But, you know, coming from him to make that statement about a guy that he formerly coached, it comes off as really bad. Now, the statement he was making about him ruining the game, I don't know if it's ruining the game. Basically, for me, it's all about kids nowadays want to do something, you know, that they see on TV. You know, when I was a kid, Ted, you remember, you know, back in the 80s and 90s, we wanted to be like Mike. We go outside and we try to jump and try to dunk over people and drink Gatorade. At least I did. Dribble a basketball, try fadeaways, did everything we did. You know, and it's not hurting the game because really Steph Curry's game is all about fundamentals. He is one of the best ball handlers in the entire league, and you've watched him. We've seen the videos, the vines everywhere. The guy can shoot from anywhere on the court. So at least he's practicing a fundamental of the game of shooting the basketball. So is he hurting the game? No. But is Mark Jackson right in his assessment? He can be. But it just comes off very badly because he was the former coach of the Warriors, and he was unceremoniously fired or let go from his job right before the Warriors ended up winning a championship.
So is it easy or is it right to say that anything that comes out of Mark Jackson's mouth in regards to the Warriors is going to kind of get a side eye from, I guess, the media and the NBA fans all over the world, globally?
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a side eye. I mean, unless there's nothing positive, it's going to be a side eye at all times. I mean, that's just the true statement about it because, of course, it sounds like sour grapes because, let's face it, Mark Jackson couldn't get this team past the second round of the playoffs. Steve Kerr walks in 1 year, they won 67 games, and they win a championship. Right now, they're 28 or 29-1 right now, and they're on pace to break the Bulls' record of 72-10. They're pretty much making this like, you know, a nightly show. And it just comes off looking bad for Mark Jackson anytime he criticizes, you know, anything the Warriors do, whether it be Draymond Green. Unless, you know, if it's a statement that's, you know, that people know or it sounds correct, and yeah, it doesn't sound like hate, but a comment like that, it comes off pretty bad. But I agree with some of the stuff he said. It just comes back coming from him.
Gotcha, gotcha. Danny, want to thank you for joining us from, you're in the stadium, I guess, talking with the stars, doing some work for your show that's going to be coming back on. Why don't you plug your show, tell us where we can find you, all the above, and all I know is, hey, I just go to iHeartRadio and type in the great Danny Thompson, and you're just on online speaking. So how to get in contact with you.
Hey, Ted, I'm glad for the quick little five-minute burst, you know. But to catch us, number one, catch us on the web, www.nbafcpradio.com. Basically, if you miss the show live or miss, you know, the morning show on Spreaker, everything is posted on the website. So you can check all the old archives there. Our iHeartRadio show is Tuesday nights from 9 to 11 Eastern time. If you're in Orlando, tune in to 96.9 FM, The Game. Or, like I said, if you're on iHeartRadio, type in 96.9 The Game in the search engine on the iHeart app, and you'll see our pretty little profile. You'll see 96.9 The Game, and tune in at 9 o'clock. Also, for the morning tip-off, it's not on iHeartRadio, but it is live on Spreaker every single morning. It's free. It's the perfect gift for those NBA fans that didn't get a Christmas gift. Tell them to download the app on iHeart, Spreaker, and tune us in every single morning. We pretty much recap everything you missed the night before the NBA in a one-hour, you know, chop shop type of idea. By the time you finish, you'll be at work, and you pretty much caught up on the games that you slept in on last night. So that's it.
That's great, Danny, as always. Thank you, and we're looking forward to Happy New Year. Hey, any last-second resolutions?
Yeah. Hopefully the Hornets can make the playoffs this year. Give me something to cheer about when I'm not covering the rest of the league as a fan. It's, you know, the news resolution, the Hornets can make the playoffs, and we'll have some actual games in April and May down here in Charlotte.
Great. Thanks again, Danny.
And that was Danny Thompson, who joined us, I would say, about 2 hours ago, live from the Hornets venue in Charlotte. We're getting ready to come to a close. Just want to let you know, as always, go to latenightparents.com for the latest blog post up there. We got about maybe 8 new posts up there, a couple more scheduled for prior to the start of the new year. One personal one I will discuss is I finally made the switch From what? From Coke to Pepsi? From Diet Coke to Diet Pepsi? From a Big Mac to a quarter pounder with cheese? From a Whopper to a Baconator? Nah, I need to switch from 2K, which is high definition, to 4K. Ultra HD. And I got to tell you, this past week, when I just share this brief story with you before the show closes, as always, it was a great holiday season. New Year is right upon us. But I basically have – so it's a Samsung house. It's a Samsung house, and no, this is not a paid advertisement. I love the Samsung products, the TVs. You know, they're second to none, like a lot of people. So my friends and I, as you know, we're all techies. We go through our instant message is iMessage daily. And we start talking about, you know, 4K TVs, latest and greatest. And my last major upgrade for like family room TV was back in 2009. So you're sitting here saying, oh, 6 years ago. And that's when I received, my wife purchased me a Samsung LED 55-inch screen. And it was a heck of an upgrade. But fast forward 6 years later, what's everyone talking about? Everyone, I mean, what we talk about all the time is internet streaming and set-top boxes and traditional cable going down the drain and, you know, watching the show when you want to watch it, binging when, you know, when it really meets your schedule. So I got to tell you, Sunday morning, just before I'm leaving for church, I turned on the TV, the Samsung. And what happened? I'm just hearing a clicking noise. I don't see anything coming up on the screen. So I'm sitting there and I'm rebooting. Power supplies behind the TV, you name it, unplugging the TV, trying different supplies, plugging directly into the wall, nothing. So I see I have a problem. I did some research on it, and it's like it's a known issue with blown capacitors with the Samsung TVs. But I was in the midst of heading to church, going to be there for a few hours, and then coming back, and Jets and Patriots were on. Without a doubt, was the game of the year. So, you know, the question came about, were they ready for a 4K TV? Yes or no? I mean, and for the most part, the salesperson is going to tell you, yes, you want this 4K, but the salesperson is wrong because, you know, if the screen is smaller than 55 inches, you won't see the difference. But you're okay if the screen is under 65 inches. You know, you got to think about it. It's an investment. You can get a 55-inch Samsung or Vizio TV for about $500. I wound up going to Sears. I got a 4K for about $1,100. But guess what? You sit there and you say, okay, so where's the 4K content? And outside of House of Cards, you know, we got to give a shout out to Frank Underwood. It's not much 4K content out there. No sports league or network has committed to 4K production. Your cable set-top boxes cannot handle 4K, nor will it ever. But as you know, specific Android set-top boxes have that capability. These set-top boxes are available now for 4K streaming. You know, some house cleaning, you got to make sure your ISP, your internet service provider, can handle the needs for the specific bandwidth. You know, you're going to need a minimum of 25 megabytes going down. So, like, I was looking at my situation and wondering, does it make sense? I mean, my current ISPs provide me 75 up, 75 down. So I said, okay, I'm okay there.
You know, there's the amazing 2K TVs are super cheap now. You know, 4K is getting cheaper, but not as cheap as a 2K. Like I said, there's going to be about a $400-$500 difference. At least that's what I noticed. But there's nothing like pulling up that picture quality of that 4K TV. I mean, it's taken that. I mean, watching something in 4K or even in 2K nowadays, totally, you know, you have to question yourself if you want to have that in-stadium experience when you're watching a game. So you have to think that most of these 2K screens are going to be, they're going to make sense for you because, you know, 2K is in a movie theater. 80% of households can't experience 4K at all. So there's going to need to be a major uptake in, you know, kind of blowing out the old TVs and getting in the new ones. Big question is, why did I buy it? It was totally an impulse buy. You know, I would say about 2 months ago, I recently purchased an affordable Vizio LED 40-inch 2K smart TV for my home office, and I paid about $319. I mean, the home office is a small setting, but I kind of went on a leap of faith with this 4K Samsung 55-inch TV. You know, the time for 4K is here. I mean, very shortly, the industry will be at the end of life for 2K sets. Meaning, you know, all the 4K TVs are going to play 2K content. They already do. 4K content will eventually become available. And in one day, the NFL will produce and broadcast games in 4K, or they will skip straight to 8K. Or virtual reality. Could you imagine that? Or something else entirely. I'm going to say maybe tomorrow, or maybe I'll wait till January 1, but I received the hardware for the capacitors. I'm going to take apart my old TV, replace the capacitors, and try to boot that TV up to see if I can pull it off because I just got the package today. That is just, you know, the idea and me dealing with 4K and looking at this type of technology because I'm a technologist by trade. With all that being said, it was a great 2015. I want to thank you for downloading the podcast. For those of you that have listened live, I want to thank the folks that constantly reach out, the PR firms, everyone. It's not just a one-person show. I can sit here and say I'm the greatest person of all time. But there's so many people that are around that make this podcast happen. I want to thank our friends at the Happy Hour Network. I want to thank our friends at Jimagination Unlimited Network, those at Life Improvement Radio, You and I Are One Radio, NGSC Sports, I-95 Sports Network, FSC Radio, XRP Radio in the UK. I want to thank our partners that listen to us, that put up with, you know, my stuff. And I'm looking forward to bringing you a quality show with quality guests because I'm not the star of the show. The guests are. That's the best thing about it. You are the star. You are the star of the show. So with that, we're going to close out. I played a little.